I'm Kevin Kelly. This is Live and Local. The show is your connection to local music, and our focus today is going to be The Sound of Music, Rodgers and Hammerstein's last musical together, and it's going to be performed by Urbana Park District Summer Youth Theater Program. It opens on Thursday, runs through Sunday. Performances in the Follinger Auditorium on the University of Illinois Quad in Urbana. Performance is 7:30 each evening, and I'll repeat that information later on and give you some contact information. But we will be talking with the two directors of the show and quite a number of the students who are in the show and hearing some songs that I'm sure you will find familiar as well. It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. Sound of Music. They all represent the Urbana Park District Youth Summer Theater Program, which is putting on the Rodgers and Hammerstein show starting this Thursday every night through Sunday. And we also have the two co-directors of the show, April Cleveland and Stephen Larson. Stephen is also playing keyboard. And thanks to everybody for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
It is our pleasure. I love this show, the great songs, and it's been a long time since I've seen the movie. I think not as long since I saw a stage production, which I think was the Champaign-Urbana Theater Company production. But that was even quite a long time ago. So it's been a long time since I've seen this thing at all. And so it'll be fun. And that might be true for a lot of other of our listeners who know the songs, haven't seen the show, maybe have never seen the stage show if they've only seen the movie, which I'll bet is true for an awful lot of people. Mm-hmm. So this will be a great opportunity for everybody. April and Stephen, as co-directors, I'm kind of curious how you divide up the directing of acting versus directing of singing. Do you share those? Does one of you do one the other, or how does that work?
Well, at the beginning of this summer, I got pretty much free rein to what we wanted to work on with music. So we said, okay, we need to learn these many songs in this many weeks. And we got almost all the music done in the first 2 weeks. And then we just review it after that. And then April takes over with the acting. And then she pulls out people. And if we need to review something, we review it. And then for the past few weeks, she's been had a lot of control over acting and what the final product looks like, but I'm doing a lot of the music stuff.
So you're basically the music guy, and April's the everything else girl.
Everything else girl.
Yeah.
That's right, Kevin.
Something like that. So what's your background, April, that got you involved in this thing?
In this program, I began acting in this program actually when I was 9. And I did it until the last year I was eligible, which was when I was 18. And that was 3 years after I moved to California. So I came back each summer from California to Champaign to do the production.
Why?
Why? Because the program shaped me and my ideas about theater and my ideas about how youth theater can exceed the typical expectations of adults. And it's something that I want to do for the rest of my life. And so
theater.
I'm happy to be back here and directing the thing I care about most.
So you're still in California?
I am.
And what are you doing in California?
I go to the Strasberg Institute for Acting and Film, and I work and live there all except for during the summer.
And so you've been, how many of these shows have you directed? Is this your first one to
direct?
This
is my first year directing. Last summer I stage managed.
And what about you, Stephen? What's your background and how did you get to this gig?
I was also in the program when I was a youngster, and I've been with the program for about the past 10 years. And this is my sixth production being on the staff for Banff Parks District.
And what are some other jobs that you've had as a staff person?
I've been the assistant music director, I've been the keyboard rehearsal accompanist, and I've been music director for the past few years.
Mm-hmm. Have you done any work with other companies in town?
I used to work for Champaign Park District when they had their theater program during the daytime. They've changed it a little bit, but that's what I used to do some work with them.
And what's your daytime gig?
I'm previously employed by Decatur Public Schools.
Previously employed? Not currently employed?
No.
Now what?
Now the...
Don't ask?
The road is free for the taking.
In other words, if somebody has a job, you'll send them a resume?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay, good. Well, before we talk to any of the students who are in the show, why don't we hear from the students who are in the show, do something from the show? What are we going to start with?
We're going to hear the morning hymn, which starts off the first thing we see with the Abbey. So we see nuns walking, processing all around the stage and around the theater, and we hear this music.
So who knows what you just sang in English? Oh, good. Now I get to remember somebody's name. Now I got everybody's name beforehand. Let me see how I do. Now, I know that you are one of two people playing one character, and that means you're Emma Lacefield.
No, I'm Caroline Gillette.
You're the other one. Okay, Caroline Gillette, who plays one of the Von Trapp children named Marta. So what did you just sing?
The first line, the first word is taken out. It's Jesu, which means Jesus, and Rex admirabilis means most admirable. Et triumphator nobilis means he triumphs and he is noble. Totus deci derabilis. I'm not exactly sure what that means.
It's most desirable.
Okay, who just called that out without raising your hand? Okay, and I just forgot who
That's
you are.
That's Jack Reeder.
Jack Reeder playing Max. Ooh, and we have a Matthew Reeder. Are you two related then? Then you're standing far away from each other. So did you know that because you know Latin or because you were taught well what all this means?
They handed out a sheet that said what it meant.
And you memorized it?
Part of
Close.
It.
Close.
Wow.
Feel like you're doing a spelling bee right now or something? Being quizzed at an oral
really.
Exam? Well, that was very good. Yeah, and it was also very beautiful. That's a wonderful... It's a wonderful scene that I think a lot of us probably forget mm-hmm. is in it. You know, we remember most of the songs from later in the show, with the exception of one song sung in the Abbey, which we will hear. Who wants to sort of give a run through of the whole show? What happens? The basic synopsis. Okay, this is going to be Jack Reeder.
The beginning of the show, it is Maria is out on the cliffs singing about, not necessarily the cliffs, but the mountains, singing how much she likes, you know, is singing how much she likes the mountains and nature. And then the next scene, we go to the Abbey. The nuns are being inspected and checked off as the Alleluia is sung. And then Mother Abbess and Maria are in. Maria gets the news that she's going to go to the Captain Von Trapp's villa to watch over seven children. And then she goes to the villa, and there she meets the children who are referred to as little marching machines. And then she teaches them how to sing, and eventually, the goat herd. And then they, because thunder and light. So you know it's thundering and lightning, and they're all scared, and they sing happy things to get away from the get rid of the thunder and lightning. The next scene is Max and Elsa come in, and they figure out, and they realize that the Captain Von Trapp and Elsa, it doesn't work out. Their relationship doesn't work out, but they don't know that yet. And then moving along, the next scene is.
Let's move along to when they get married.
Good choice. So, moving right along, they, nice processional.
Who gets married, Jack?
Captain Von Trapp and Maria get married.
And what happened to poor Elsa?
Elsa figured out it's not going to work out because they're two rich people.
And what's the historical subplot throughout the whole thing that tears the relationship apart?
It's the fact that rich people, you know, when you're poor, there's always love. But
and also, World War II is going on, correct?
That's right, yes. World War II,
1938. Or about to commence, yes.
Yes. And so they escape into the mountains after singing in a concert festival.
Okay, that's a very good thumbnail sketch of the show.
Yes.
Good. One aspect that you kind of missed, I think, is sort of skipped over, which is important at least initially, and even becomes important later on. I don't remember if this all shows up in the stage version or not. But the reason that Maria leaves the Abbey,
mm-hmm.
Maria, why do you leave the Abbey? You have a conflict.
Well, Maria is not. You know, she's very devoted to God, but the Mother Abbess kind of points out to her that she's a little bit too free-spirited. She has a great capacity to love people. As Mother Abbess points out later when Maria is feeling guilty for falling in love with Captain Von Trapp, and points out that, marital love, love for a husband is as holy as love for God. So Maria initially leaves the Abbey. She's not really cut out for being a nun. She's too free-spirited. So when Mother Abbess sends her away, you know, she initially thinks she's going to be coming right back in September. But, you know, she finds out that there is something else for her besides just serving God inside the church. She can be serving God just as strongly by showing love to other people.
And so it's right around there that the Mother Abbess sings her famous song to you, isn't it?
That's at the end of Act One, yes, when Maria comes back to the Abbey.
When she comes back, and why does she come back to the Abbey?
Well, she's afraid that she has betrayed God by falling in love with someone else. She feels like she's betrayed her true love, which is God, for mortal love, essentially.
And the Mother Abbess sets her straight,
mm-hmm.
more or less.
Yeah, telling her that she can love someone else and love God just as much.
So this is Laura Adrian, who's playing the role of Maria, most famously done, of course, by Julie Andrews. And so that's a reasonable setup for hearing the Mother Abbess's famous song. As Caitlin Caruso Dobbs suddenly gets the willies about singing this song.
No.
You just get, no, I have to sing. You
no,
love to sing.
I do love to sing. It's just, it's a very different role. Most roles I've played are more Broadway-oriented, such as Les Mis, which is pretty much the opposite kind of vocal range of this role. So it's a challenge, and I enjoy them. So.
And is it an inspiration or something that petrifies you to know that this is a role that your mom sings?
song?
A little of both. Of course, she's very inspirational, and she's done this role 3 times, and she always was, it's a very emotional thing. But at the same time, it's hard because you feel like you have to kind of live up to that expectation that everyone has because of her portrayal. So.
Yeah, her mom is Deborah Dobbs, who also teaches people voice. Are you taking lessons with your mom or with somebody else?
I don't really take lessons necessarily. Most of the time, I just figure out what I'm singing, like the day of things. So everybody
else. But she's very prepared for this role.
Yes, I'm very prepared. April and Stephen have helped me a lot.
Not surprised by that at all. Okay, so Climb Every Mountain is the name of the song, and we've already had the setup for where this comes in the show. Nice, nicely done.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's a wonderful song. I have to confess, it's one of those songs that I always, in a way, kind of hated. But yet every time I hear the song, it's really moving, particularly in context. You know, I can't explain that. There's another one like that. You'll Never Walk Alone. What show is that song from?
Carousel.
I always feel the same way about that. But then when it comes up in the show, or even when you just sing it and remember the context, or even if you don't remember the context, like, oh, that really is a good song after all. So, really nicely done.
Thank you.
And then you're gone. You're out of the show, right?
Not really. I come in the beginning of the show, like Jack said, there's Maria sings. We're doing it like the movie, where the first thing you see is Maria singing The Sound of Music. And then we go to the Abbey, in which there's the morning processional. And then Sister Berta, one of my sisters, discovers Maria's not there again. So we nuns sing Maria. And the other nuns talk about their frustrations of how they feel about her. And then Maria comes in, and I send her to Captain Von Trapp. And then I come in at the end of Act 1 and inspirationally tell her to go back. And I come back in at the end of Act 2 and send them off to the mountains.
So. Oh, I forgot that you were back in at the end of Act 2.
Yes.
Okay. I would have had you out of your final scene, which would have been too bad. So this show has been around since 1959, I think, mm-hmm. which is sort of incredible to consider that it has lasted that long and it still inspires people, whether young or old. And so all of you decided you wanted to be in this show at some point. You wanted to do the audition. What was interesting about this show that said, I want to try out for The Sound of Music? So remind me who you are, and the audience will know then.
I'm Natalie Bina.
Natalie Bina, and you're playing the role of?
Louisa.
Louisa, one of the Von Trapp's children, eventually Von Trapp's singers.
I wanted to audition for this show partly because it's such a classic, and it's been along for such a long time, and I've seen the movie a bunch of times, and then when I was little, that was like one of my all-time favorite movies. So I think just the idea of being able to perform those songs on a stage in front of people really fascinated me, and that's something that I really wanted to be able to do.
Was it one of your favorite songs, favorite movies when you were...
Yeah, when I was little, I watched it, like, all the time. My parents got so sick of it, I think, from just having to watch it.
And I'm just curious, how many others of you, and you can just sort of stick your hand up and I'll count for the audience, have really watched this movie a lot when you were younger? Some of you can't be much younger than you are now. Yeah, everybody just about, except for Cameron Cornell, which means that Cameron gets to come up here and explain himself. Is
well,
it just not
see,
a movie you've liked much, or what?
Well, no, I loved it, actually. It was a great movie, great acting, great singing. But for me, I was always more into Buzz Lightyear when I was little.
Okay, right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and you're how old now?
I'm 13.
You're a tall 13.
Yes.
You're a tall, I mean, you can't see all these folks in here, but there are some short ones and some tall ones. I guess this is about the age when you never know. Somebody gets really tall and somebody else is still really short and it doesn't make it, you know, you can't tell age from that, which is, so I really don't know how old many of you are. How many of you are older than 10? So only one who's less than 10, Matthew.
I'm 10.
You are 10.
I'm 10.
Oh, there's two of you who are 10. Well, let me talk to the 10-year-olds.
And Ashley.
And Ashley, who is hiding. I want to talk to the two 10-year-olds. Ashley, do you want to come up and talk? Okay, good. Yeah, so what, how do you feel hanging around all these older kids, Matthew?
Well, it's fine. I mean, they're all really nice, so it's a really fun atmosphere.
And what about being in a show that your brother is in?
Well, I always loved the movie. When I was little, and in kindergarten, we had to do a 100-day thing, and I did 100 nuns in a convent because I loved the movie so much. And yeah, and so it's really fun to be... in it.
But what you avoided my question very skillfully. What about being in a show with your brother? I'm picking on you here.
I like my brother. I mean, and it's fun to be in shows with him because, well, we know each other really well. So.
He doesn't pick on you during rehearsals?
Mm-hmm.
No.
No? He's pretty.
Jack, are you an abnormal older brother? You don't really have to answer that.
Well, and Matt and I will sometimes get in disagreements of very of subjects. Not, yeah.
Okay, well, that's fine. Caroline, how do you deal with the rest of these people?
When you're around older kids and you're one of the youngest, probably one of the best things you can do is make friends with them. So I hang out with people that I'm comfortable around.
That's a very wise approach to doing this, I think. What do you like about the show? Why did you want to audition for it?
Well, I've always wanted to be in theater, but whenever a time came to audition, I never knew about the audition. And for The Sound of Music, I was lucky enough to hear from one of my friends about the audition. And this was the first play I did that it wasn't a camp. So I wasn't expecting to get a part like this, but I really like being in The Sound of Music because it's something I can do during the summer. Usually during the summer, I really don't fit in with the rest of my class who's doing all these sports and stuff. But this is something that I really like to do and have fun doing it. So that's really why I like The Sound of Music and because I like to act a lot.
Great. So you've got the role of Marta, which you're sharing with Emma Lacefield. Ashley Acri, you're playing Gretel. And have you been in shows before?
When I was 3.
And you're how old now?
9, just turned 9.
So you only did one show when you were 3? Have you done some other shows since then?
I don't know.
You don't know? Do you remember what show you were in when you were 3?
King and I.
Were you one of the little Siamese children? You were probably one of the little Siamese children, is my guess, because that's the children in there. And guess what? You and I have something in common, because I was one of the little Siamese children in The King and I when I was in sixth grade. How old is that? I don't know how old. Who's in sixth grade here? Anybody?
I'm going to sixth grade.
You're going to sixth grade. So, and how old are you folks?
11.
Okay. So I was just barely older than you are. You are now when I was a little Siamese children. And how do you like being in this show, Ashley? Are you having fun?
Yeah.
Do you like to sing?
Yeah. I'm in a chorus.
You're in the chorus with other kids, which is great. Well, you're doing a good job.
And I was on that stage when I was in my chorus once. It was very, very loud.
Your school chorus?
No.
Which chorus now? Do you remember?
No, it was just a chorus.
Well, that's good. This is the stage at the Fullinger Auditorium.
Yeah, I did a concert there, one of my chorus.
Good.
Fullinger.
Well, you get a great chance to perform here, which gives me a chance to say that we are talking to students from the Urbana Park District Summer Theater Program production of The Sound of Music, which will be at Fullinger Auditorium on the Quad at the University of Illinois. This is not Fullinger Great Hall at the Krannert Center, which often confuses people. It's Fullinger Auditorium on the Quad. Performances are Thursday through Sunday at 7:30. And if you'd like tickets, you can call 367-1544, or you can buy them online at the Urbana Park District website, which is simply urbanaparks.org, and click on the events button, and it'll take you to a number of events, including The Sound of Music, and you can get your tickets there. I'm Kevin Kelly. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. Our broadcast comes from Campbell Hall for Public Telecommunication, thanks to the generosity of Alice and Robert Campbell. And we are sitting in Campbell Hall in Studio F live with students from the program. And I think it's time we should have another song since you brought a number to do. What's next on the list?
Next, we're going to be doing a classic song from The Sound of Music, 16 Going on 17, with Liesl and Rolf.
And
a young love song.
Liesl is played by Catherine Street. Mm-hmm. I almost couldn't read my own writing. Rolf is Cameron Cornell, who we heard just a bit ago. Catherine, tell me about your character of Liesl.
I play Liesl. She's 16 years old, which is a coincidence because I'm 16. So basically,
so a good bit of casting there.
Yeah. Basically, she's a 16-year-old girl who wants to, I guess, rebel a little bit. When she first meets Maria, she's like, I don't need a governess, stuff like that. And then her and Maria really bond, which is really nice because me and Laura really bonded in this show, so that was nice.
Oh, that's so sweet. Well, that's good, and because Maria is supposed to be a free spirit, and you're being influenced by her,
yeah,
apparently, whether you knew it or not at that moment.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Cameron Cornell as Rolf, Catherine Street as Liesl from The Sound of Music.
You are 16, going on 17, baby, it's time to think. Better be wary, be canny and careful, baby, you're on the brink. You are 16, going on 17, fellas will fall in line. Eager young lads and roués and cads will offer you food and wine. Totally unprepared are you to face a world of men. Timid and shy and scared are you of things beyond your ken. You need someone older and wiser telling you what to do. I am 17, going on 18. I'll take care of you.
I am 16, going on 17. I know that I'm naive. Fellas I meet may tell me I'm sweet, and willingly I'll believe. I am 16, going on 17, innocent as a rose. Badger winter, they're dandy drinkers of brandy. What do I know of those? Totally unprepared am I to face the world of men. Timid and shy and scared am I of things beyond my ken. I need someone older and wiser telling me what to do. You are 17, going on 18. Depend on you.
Good, nicely done. A little fist bump there, y'all missed. Cameron, your character of Rolf is sort of interesting.
He really is. Rolf is probably one of the most conflicted characters besides Maria in the show.
In what way?
Because he starts out as the nice guy, the boyfriend, the one who like wants to be with Liesl and wants to, you know, date her. And so, but then he goes on to be a Nazi soldier, and it's a big character change, really conflicted for him, at least in my opinion, because he goes from the sweet guy who gets to sing with Liesl and say, I'll take care of you, you know, you'll be okay, it'll be okay. But then he goes to this really mean guy who yells at Liesl and Maria.
He really scares me when he does that.
Means he's doing a good job of acting the part, right?
And he goes from this really sweet guy to this really mean guy who is, he actually draws a pistol on Liesl's family. I mean, goes from nice guy to pulling a weapon on him.
And he never converts back.
He's a Nazi soldier, and I think it's a really hard choice for him at the end.
And how do you deal with that as an actor?
Well, right before I go on as the mean guy, I start trying to make myself mad. Just like thinking of all awful things, like.
You don't have to tell us all the awful things you don't want.
The color beige.
I like the color beige.
Well, that's why you weren't meant for each other, apparently, as it turns out.
Apparently.
The two co-directors for this production are April Cleveland doing the stage direction, Stephen Larson mostly doing the music direction. April, how do you deal with this historical context in talking to the students about it? I mean, from a question that you asked somebody earlier, Matthew, I think, earlier, or I guess it was Jack, sounds like you've been talking a bit about that historical context.
Yes, we deal with it delicately and very seriously, because I feel that for it to come across on stage, especially because our entire cast is youth, we need to treat it very seriously. So we had somebody come in who knows a lot about World War II and is an expert in the costumes of that era, which would actually have been uniforms. There are costumes. And he talked to the kids about different German commands, some of the historical context, taught them how to march, worked with the people who are playing the soldiers, and came in for about a total of 4 hours to work with our cast. And we talk about it consistently. We do a lot of notes about it to make sure that people are taking it seriously.
And how long has this show been in rehearsal?
We began rehearsing on June 1st, I believe. We had our auditions mid-May.
So that's been, well, I guess about
six
the usual
weeks of rehearsal.
Six weeks. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems to be sort of standard around here, 6 to 8 weeks maybe, if you're lucky to have that many. And how much does that history really show up in the show? I mean, it becomes obvious late.
It shows it. They begin making allusions to World War II and using words like the Anschluss and different things that have to do with things that were happening historically in 1938 in Austria from the German influence. That happens in Act One, and it really becomes a heavy influence in Act Two.
And they are indeed Austrian. They are not German.
They are Austrian,
and
yes.
And one of the tensions is whether Austria is going to get sucked into the Nazi fold or
mm-hmm.
not. It seems to me that one of the other characters who is conflicted about all of this would be Captain Von Trapp.
Absolutely.
Who rises to the microphone.
Indeed.
Captain Von Trapp is played by Kent Schlorf. Do you have a first name? Or is it Captain?
It's Georg, actually.
Georg, there you go. The German form of George. What do you feel about your character? Tell us a bit about him.
Well, he is very conflicted. That's, I think, one of the main themes is conflicted characters in this show. But when the idea is, when Maria comes to him, the captain has lost his wife, who he was very deeply in love with, and he had 7 children with. But he becomes very... He was a naval sea captain, and he sort of takes on that military persona and uses it to manage his children because he doesn't want to see them. He wants them to march around and be away from him because they remind him of his late wife.
And that's why they were called, what was the term somebody used earlier, marching what?
Little marching machines.
Little marching machines.
There's actually a really fun argument scene Laura and I have about my children in Act 1, and it's sort of a turning point for the captain because the children come in and start singing and he realizes that he's been doing things wrong for quite a while. And that's when he sort of starts to arc and he ends up a totally different person by the end.
Yeah, really. But Elsa kind of represents maybe that military side in a way. I mean, does she appeal to that side of your personality, do you think? She's essentially your girlfriend when
right.
Maria shows
up. She is supposedly the captain's significant other at the time. And she is, with the captain, how do I explain this? The captain is with Elsa sort of as a filler, just to sort of fill the empty space that was left by his late wife. So
she's the rebound relationship, basically.
Right. He's not really in love with her. He's just looking for someone, you know. He's looking for someone to fill that space.
And that gets filled, of course, by Maria.
Eventually,
after she brings all of her free-spiritedness to the children. Do we have one of the major free-spirited songs where that transformation starts to happen?
Well, we do have those songs in the show, but that wasn't one of the ones that we briefed the cast about for the lineup today.
Good. Well, what did you brief the cast for the lineup today?
Well, the next song that they were going to do is actually just Jack was going to sing a verse. He plays Uncle Max. And Uncle Max in the movie doesn't have any songs, but in the show he's a very musical character along with Elsa. They sing 2 songs together. This one is called No Way to Stop It.
While somersaulting at a cockeyed angle, we make a cockeyed circle round the sun. And when we circle back to where we started from, another year has run. And there's no way to stop it, no, there's no way to stop it. If the earth wants to roll around the sun, you're a fool if you worry, you're a fool if you worry over anything but little number one.
Without his companion Elsa, who is not here
who
today.
Is not here, yes, she couldn't make it. And that was Jack Reeder in the role of Max. I don't recognize that song at all.
It's only in the stage version. And it's actually, it comes right out of an argument back to when we were talking about the historical context. He and Elsa are telling Captain Von Trapp to just stay in the background and relax while all this political conflict is going on and that's the best way to deal with it. And the captain decides that he can't be with Elsa because he feels so strongly that he has to stand up and do what's best for his country and for his family.
So you're an interesting character as well, Max, as it turns out.
He's definitely an interesting character. He and Georg argue a lot, but they still like each other. Because Max is a comedic relief for the captain and in the show.
Yeah, and this show, I mean, there are a lot of lighthearted songs in this show, but ultimately it's not a comic. It's not a comic thing. Where's Friedrich? Noah German, did I say your name right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I promised I'd give everybody a chance to speak on this show, so here you are. Where does Friedrich fit in the hierarchy of the, how many children are there?
Seven children.
And you are number?
Six.
Two. In what, number two? In other words, you're the second oldest.
Yeah,
behind?
Liesl.
Oh, that's right, Liesl is the eldest.
Yeah.
And what do you think of Maria when she shows up at your house? Have you given this much thought?
I'm pretty shy and aloof at first, but then we grow to like her, so, yeah.
You personally?
Oh.
As Friedrich?
I just think she's another governess, I guess. And then when she starts singing and stuff, I think it's pretty cool.
So you don't have to, it doesn't take very long for you to warm up to her?
No.
What are your feelings towards your dad? Well, I'm talking up, not talking about your real dad now.
Yeah. Well, he's like the captain. Commander of a ship for like the first half, but then later he's more loving and kind, and he's more like a dad. So
not so much like a dad up until then.
Yeah.
And what happens to the whole family once the movie's over?
We escape into the mountains, the show is over. And we live happily ever after.
Yeah, and what do you do when you live happily ever after? This becomes a story that prompted the show in the first place.
That's difficult because the show is written very different than what actually happened, as is the movie. They never climbed the Alps.
See, I'm fishing here for something, and that they become the Von Trapp family singers.
Mm-hmm.
And they go all over the world and do what you're doing in the show. I mean, that part is real.
Mm-hmm.
And they get quite a bit of fame that way. And in fact, I believe they're still Von Trapp family singers who are the descendants of you all who are still going about that business, at least at some level, which I think is pretty cool. I haven't heard of them touring around at all. Have you? Anybody?
No, definitely not locally.
Well, no, not locally. But I think the Krannert Center should put in to see if they can get the Von Trapp family singers if they're still going on. What's our next group song?
Our next song is a version of Do Re Mi. It's a medley that the Von Trapps and Maria and the captain, they all sing together in the concert hall before their escape.
Okay, not too close to the microphone now.
Doe, a deer, a female deer, Ray, a drop of golden sun, me, a name I call myself, far a llama makes you run.
So, a needle pulling thread,
a needle pulling thread,
no to follow song,
a note to follow song.
A drink with jam and bread.
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 Jam and bread.
Tea with jam and bread.
Tea with jam and bread.
Jam and bread.
Jam and bread.
Jam and bread. Jam and bread. Tea with jam. Jam and bread. Jam and bread. Tea with jam. Jam and bread.
With jelly.
Jam and bread,
jam and bread,
la 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 la,
la la la,
tea with jam.
Good. So that's right before, more or less, they make their escape.
Yeah, it's
after singing at that concert.
It's essentially the last scene.
In both the movie and the stage version.
Yes.
Yeah, I think so. We're listening to and talking with directors and actors in the Urbana Park District's production, Youth Theater production, summer Youth Theater production of Sound of Music. which opens on Thursday, runs through Sunday at Follinger Auditorium on the Quad on the University of Illinois campus in Urbana. April Cleveland is co-director with Stephen Larson, who's on the keyboard in our live performance here in Studio F at the WYLL stations. Today's broadcast is made possible in part with support from these business partners: Busey Bank of Urbana, Jupiter's Pizzeria and Billiards of Champaign, the Unitarian Universalist Church of Urbana, and Illini Studio of Champaign. These business partners join the Friends of WYLL in making great programs possible, and we thank you for your support. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. Here's a quick look at some of the events you can go out and see in your area. Singer-songwriter Denise LaGrassa is at Biagi's in Champaign tonight at 6 o'clock. Zoo Improv is performing in downtown Champaign twice tonight at the Indigo Gallery at 8 o'clock and 10:30. In Normal, it's the Illinois Shakespeare Festival on the grounds of Ewing Manor. Scapan is the play tonight. That's at 7:30. Tomorrow night, Richard III is at 7:30. And on Thursday, it's A Midsummer Night's Dream, also at 7:30. And before all those performances, there are what they call green shows on the green, mostly for young people. And also Wednesday through the weekend, I believe there's also some music performances before that, some jazz and other things. The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas is at the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan. Two performances tomorrow, 2 in the afternoon and at 8 o'clock in the evening. The Peoria Municipal Band is performing tomorrow night on the Peoria Riverfront. That concert is at 7:30. And then on Thursday, the Station Theater at Urbana opens Absurd Person Singular. That's at 8 o'clock and runs for a few weeks at the Station Theater. And A Midsummer Evening of Stories and Music with Kathy Brinkman and Dan Keating is going to be in downtown Urbana at La Gourmandise on West Main Street. That's Thursday evening from 6 to 8. And finally, on Thursday at noon, a free program called Anything You Can Sing, I Can Sing, featuring tenor Jason Morgan, soprano Nicole Brantz, and pianist Eric Dahlheim. That's part of the music series at the Mills Breast Cancer Institute on the main Carl Clinic campus in Urbana, Thursday at noon. Those are just some of the musical and theatrical goings-on in your area. I would like to know about others, whether you're involved with them directly or not. Send me an email at willcalendar@illinois.edu. That's W-Y-L-L calendar at illinois.edu. And we'll be sure to include it on our calendar. And perhaps you can suggest somebody who might like to come on the show, talk about your organization or your event, such as these folks are doing right now for the Urbana Park District's Summer Theater production. Who didn't get to speak to us so far? Kitty Schwartz. You've had the distinction also of having been on this show once before.
Yes.
You were playing guitar.
No, I was playing cello and mandolin.
Mandolin, that was the string thing. I knew you played cello, and your dad played the guitar. It was part of the Schwartz family band. Playing cello and mandolin, how does that compare with singing in a show like this?
I'm not really sure, but...
Good, then sit down.
It's okay.
No, just kidding. Okay. Yeah, how do you like doing theater?
Theater I really like to do. It's my main hobby. I've been doing it for not very long, but I fell in love with it by just seeing a few shows, and I really love to do it.
And you wanted to get up on stage and do it yourself.
Yes.
And is it Emma Lacefield, who was the other person I didn't get to talk with? Come on up. Emma is one of two people playing the character of Marta. A quick question for April 1st. Are a lot of these characters double cast? Or just some of them?
Of the seven Von Trapp children, four are double cast, and then within the rest of the cast, two characters are double cast.
Okay, so you get to share this role, Emma, with Caroline Gillette. So how do you and Caroline get along?
We get along pretty well since we're only a year apart in age, and...
So you don't get jealous of each other when you get to do the role and she doesn't, or the other way around in a particular production?
No.
So what are you doing? Are you trading off performances?
Yeah, I do
Thursday and Friday, and she's doing Saturday and Sunday.
Okay, and so your family will all be there on Saturday and Sunday, right? That was a joke. They're not going to go see your rival there. So in rehearsals, do you get up on stage at the same time and just shadow each other, or do you take turns in rehearsal?
The first few weeks we did, and then we started, one of us did the first act, and the other did the second act, and then the next day we would switch acts.
And do you have a lot of lines to memorize?
Not very many.
Mostly the songs. And where to go on stage and what to do at the right time. Is that hard to remember?
Sometimes, but since I don't have any scenes all by myself, I usually just follow the rest of the Von Trapps.
And someday, do you like theater enough that you hope to have a part where you will have scenes by yourself?
Yes.
And do you think that will happen?
Maybe. I don't know.
I bet it will. I bet it will. To everybody who doesn't have that happening already right now. We have about 5 minutes left, which I assume gives us time for one more song. This looks like a surprise.
We'd love to do one more song. Liesl and Maria are going to sing the reprise of 16 Going on 17, a number they do together in the second act.
Okay. They're mentally getting prepared right now. This is Live and Local and Music from the Sound of Music.
When you're 16, going on 17, waiting for life to start, somebody kind who touches your mind will suddenly touch your heart. When that happens, after it happens, nothing is quite the same. Somehow you'll know, you'll jump up and go, if ever he called your name. Gone are your old ideas of life, the old ideas grow dim. Lo and behold, you're someone's wife, and you belong to him. You may think this kind of adventure never may come to you. Darling, 16, going on 17, wait a year or two.
Oh, they're hugging. It's so cute. Laura, how old are you?
I am 18.
Okay, so you are older than Liesl. That's Liesl. That's good.
Yep.
when you have such young people playing different age characters, it really can be sort of interesting to have people who are basically the same age being the mother to the other.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice to finally hear you. It's the first we've got to hear you in this mixed. It sounds very nice. I'm sure it'll be a wonderful show. It's The Sound of Music being put on by the Urbana Park District Youth Summer Theater Program Thursday through Sunday, 7:30, at the Fullinger Auditorium on the University of Illinois Quad. If you'd like tickets, you can get them online if you want at urbanaparks.org. Press the events button, click the events button, or you can do it on the phone, 217-367-1544. Our guests on Live and Local today have been co-directors April Cleveland and Stephen Larson, and quite a number of the cast. In no particular order here, Laura Adrian as Maria, Natalie Bina as Louisa, Jack Reeder is Max, Matthew Reeder is Kurt, Kent Schlorf is the captain, Caroline Gillette and Emma Lacefield playing the role of Marta, Ashley Acri, I forgot again, Acri is Gretel, Caitlin Caruso-Dobbs is the mother. Abbas Cameron Cornell is Rolf. Kitty Schwartz is Brigitte. Catherine Street is Liesl. And Noah German is Friedrich. And did I miss anybody? No. Well, thank you all very much for coming on, and I hope you have a tremendous show. And your dress rehearsal must be tomorrow.
Tonight.
And tomorrow. Ooh. You get two of them.
And yesterday.
Good. Lights, camera, action. We're just about there.
Exactly.
No camera, though, probably. Well,
no
somebody
camera.
Will be videotaping.
We'll see about that.
Excellent. Well, thank you all for coming on. You did a great job.
Thank you for having us.
Our pleasure. I'm Kevin Kelly. This is Live and Local.